This is Heather Johnson, and you're listening to the Ayurveda Life School podcast, episode number 78, The Three Major Waste Products. This podcast is for people who want to take their health physically, emotionally, and spiritually to a whole new level using Ayurvedic medicine, the ancient healing tradition from India. This is the Ayurveda Life School podcast, and I'm your host, Heather Johnson. Hello, my friends. Welcome to the podcast today. I am just in a great mood. It's a beautiful fall day. I've been busy, and doing lots of fun productivity. And this morning, I got to teach yoga. If you've listened to this before, you know I teach live class on Monday mornings, and it's such a joy. We did a whole sequence where we worked at the wall, and it just changes the way that you feel throughout all of the poses. Every asana is different when you have that wall and that resistance. And we would do, you know, warrior poses and then goddess pose and then push into the wall with the foot and the hand and lean into the wall when we would twist. And I just loved that. I think it just helps us to see we can do things in a different way and get a different result, even though it's the same action. And I always feel pretty good after I teach. I think that I get as much out of it as my students do, for sure. I have been getting some questions lately about how to evaluate our bowel movements and urine and what they mean. And so this is a real kind of a technical question, but it really does matter paying attention to what is happening in the bathroom, simply because what comes in must come out. And we know health-wise, we can tell a lot about what's going on within the body through our waste products. So I wanted to touch on those two, as well as sweat, because in Ayurveda, the ahara malas, or the three major malas, are feces, sweat, and urine. And the word mala actually means waste product. Ahara means intake. So it's the waste products that come because of intaking food. That way, when we look at waste products, we can tell, oh, what I'm intaking is helping me or it's not helping me. And then we can make adjustments and shift. And so I want you, first off, to start getting in the habit of checking in the toilet and just notice some symptoms or notice some qualities of the bowel movement or the urine. That will really help. And then notice your sweat. When you exercise, what do you sweat like? What is the odor? Is there much? Do you not sweat very much? Because all of those things are going to be clues. So we're going to go through each one and talk a little bit about that particular mala and then what you're looking for. So this will give you some very actionable things that you can take. And then I have a really cool test I can have you do for your urine to actually analyze what dosha is out of balance. And to me, I love doing those kinds of things. It's super fun. So the first major mala is called parisha, or feces. The channel of the body that carries the bowel movement is called the parisha vaha shrotas. And so that's why they will call feces parisha, because that's where it's housed, is in the large intestine and colon. This is really the waste material that comes after your food's digested. It's what's left over. And some of it is not useful. It's just bulk and roughage. And some of it is toxic byproducts, things that your body is trying to eliminate. So we really want to get that fecal matter out of the body. And it does that by moving through the large intestine and colon, called the parisha vaha shrotas. Feces itself is made up mostly of earth element because it's dense. It has that density, the compactness. There's actually some weight to it. And it's a waste material, but it actually has some benefits to your body you may not be aware of. It helps to give stability to the colon and the abdominal organs that surround the colon, because without that, you would have a collapse in the colon and that wouldn't be good, right? You'd have it. There'd be nothing holding and giving it substance or structure. And it helps to regulate your body temperature. We'll tie into this a little bit and explain that. But when you have excess heat, your body will try to eliminate waste because it holds on to heat inside the colon. So you might get diarrhea if you're too overheated in the body. If you have a fever, that's one reason why if you have a fever, you'll have diarrhea often. And then it will also maintain or retain the fecal matter if you're cold, because it's trying to keep you hot. And so that relates to the different doshas, which we'll talk about here in just a second. Now, what should you be seeing if things are healthy? If it's healthy and you have a normal feces, it'll be a light to medium brown color. It's going to be soft, but not loose. So it'll be easy to eliminate, but it's not going to be in lots of little pieces. It's also not going to be diarrhea in its consistency. And it's normally in the shape of a log or a smooth banana. When you're completely healthy, if you are completely balanced, it's also going to float on the water. But don't become distressed if it doesn't float all the time, because that doesn't mean that things are really out of balance either. Just in a perfect state, it would be balanced and it would float. However, if you have a lot of vata dosha going on and an increase, that means you have a lot more air. You'll have more air also in the fecal matter. So it can float if you're out of balance in vata. It can be tricky. You have to kind of evaluate everything else that's going on within your body to know if floating is good or not. If the fecal matter goes right to the bottom of the toilet and sinks, that is a sign that there is ama present in the bowels. Remember, ama is toxicity, it's undigested matter. So it just means that your body's releasing toxins. You might see this more if you were doing a cleanse or if you've been eating or doing things that are not as beneficial for your dosha. And for most people, 1 to 2 bowel movements a day is perfect. That's normal, that's healthy, that's kind of what we're shooting for. If you're skipping days, it's definitely a problem. So let's look at the different doshas and what happens when they come in the equation. So when we have an excess in vata, the feces will appear dry and hard and you won't have as much. Your body's going to be constipated. It's going to retain and hold on to it, partly because of the coldness that comes with vata. It's trying to keep you warm and there's not enough moisture to eliminate the bowels, and there's also too much cold, so it keeps it hard and compact. So you really have to bring in those qualities of warmth and moisture. We can do this through bringing in more oil in our diet, by warming the actual body up, by putting hot pads on the belly, by increasing the warmth of the food that we're eating. So lots of things we can do about that. Now, when you're constipated, you're going to have too much feces that's just sitting in the colon. It's just hanging out in there. And this can happen when you aren't eating enough food. If you have constipation, you're probably going to feel abdominal pain. You might have gas and bloating. It can cause bad breath, body odor, ama, like we talked about, you're holding on to toxicity, and it can actually cause lower back pain. So if you're experiencing any of those things, it's probably tied in with your constipation. And long term, it's going to be causing a rise in vata. It's kind of like rising in vata causes constipation, but then the constipation causes a rise in vata. So all of those are vata type problems. Now, when pitta comes into the equation, then you might have diarrhea, like we talked about, because there's too much heat in the body and it's trying to eliminate it by softening and loosening the stools. Pitta also tends to be oily, and so if you have all that extra oiliness, you'll have more waste removal. It's just going to be more speedy. Emotions can affect this as well. If you have a real fear or you have something that is affecting the nervous system where you're really scared, that can actually cause an increase in bowel movement, usually just for a short period of time. You see this at the beginning of marathons, when they have all the big long line of porta potties and the lines are so long for each one. And I've ran many, many races and I always feel like, oh, I'm not that nervous. It's okay. No big deal. Yet I have to go to the bathroom probably 4 or 5 times before the race actually begins at 6:30 in the morning. So that is an obvious sign of an excess in pitta, where I'm feeling very intense. I'm feeling very heated. I have maybe something that's scary that's coming up, or I just have some nervous emotion and it's creating this rise in intensity, which then forces more bowel movements, which is a good thing when you have to then go run for 4+ hours, because it's nice if you don't have to stop to go to the bathroom. So I always feel like my body's just getting ready to run when that happens. Now, kapha dosha, when kapha enters in to the system, then you have bulky and solid bowel movements. They're going to be larger, a little bit harder to move, but they're different than vata. Even though they both can cause what feels like a little bit of constipation, vatas are more dry, pellety, whereas kaphas are more large and bulky. When someone consistently eats more food than their body can process, they'll have larger and more bulky stools. So that would be in a kapha type situation for sure. The movement of the feces and how quickly it moves through the digestive tract, which is called the Mahavaha Shrotas in Ayurveda. So it includes the stomach and small intestine and the large intestine. So the entire digestive tract is called the Mahavaha Shrotas. The things that affect this are dietary choices, how your food is taken, meaning is it warm? Is it cold? Are you eating it under stressful situations? Are you paying attention to it? Are you providing space? So all of the healthy food guidelines. And then how are you combining it? Are you putting it together in ways that it just is hard and difficult to combine? I did a whole podcast episode about food combining, so that would be a good one to listen to. Some people too have got issues with elimination because they've taken a lot of purgatives. Now, you may call them laxatives in the Western term, but anything that causes a forceful elimination that is unnatural is a purgative. And while it works really great in the short term, it causes a dependency. And so then your bowels are never able to move in a normal way, because they've really created this dependency on this purgative. So those are only good for short-term use. These are things like Senna or Cascara Sagrada, any of the over-the-counter laxatives you buy at the grocery store. You don't want to do those on a regular basis to create a bowel movement. Now, if you do colonics can also damage the colon. They create a lot more dryness. And because of the direction of the energy movement, it creates an impact on Apana Vayu. Apana Vayu is the subdosha of Vata that creates that down and out movement. So anytime that you're doing a colonic where you're putting things up and in, you're kind of fighting that down and out. And when you do them a lot, it will lead to less bowel movements. You just will have less fecal matter. And that's not necessarily in a positive way. If you're traveling a lot, that can cause Vata increasing symptoms of not having enough moisture, and so you're constipated. And then chronic anxiety, it will have that same effect on it. You can also see a difference in the coloration of the stool based upon the dosha that has been increased or vitiated. So if you have that Vata being increased in the large intestine or colon, then the volume of the stool is going to decrease, but it might also look dark brown or gray. So you kind of want to look at those colors. When Pitta is increased, the smell of the stool is going to be really strong and pungent, so it could be very stinky, and it might appear yellow or yellowish green. You could also appear really dark and black, but that's only if you've got some kind of bleeding happening internally. So if you see dark brown, like really dark brown and black or tarry, that's a problem. You probably need to take that to your medical practitioner right away. And then when Kapha is increased and in there, we already talked about it having a larger volume, but you might have a whitish color to it, and there's usually not a smell. So the one that smells the most is going to be Pitta. And then Kapha and Vata don't have much of a smell to them at all. The next mala that we want to look at is urine. The word for urine in Sanskrit is mutra, and the channel it flows through in the body, which is the urinary tract, we call it the mutra vaha srotas. So it's the channel through which the urine is able to eliminate and remove itself from the body. Now, urine, of course, is mostly made up of the water element, which we know. I mean, it's basically liquid, and its purpose is really to remove toxins from the body, but it does help to regulate body temperature because there's heat in the urine. And so when you urinate, it helps to cool things down. If you have normal natural urine that's healthy, it's going to be clear with just a light golden color. It's not going to be cloudy. You'll be able to see through it. And you'll usually urinate 3 to 6 times a day. That's one way we know when someone has a diabetic disorder, because they're urinating really, really frequently. And that's also how we know if you're dehydrated, because you're urinating very infrequently. When we don't have enough hydration in the body, then we aren't able to eliminate the urine because our body's going to hold on to it. It needs that moisture. It doesn't want to become dehydrated. And so when Vata is increased, increasing that dryness in the body, maybe we're not drinking enough water. We're taking in too many dry things like popcorn and crackers and granola. And so Vata has been increased, then our body's not going to urinate as much. It's trying to hold on to the moisture. When Pitta increases, the body heat is going to increase, which is going to result in more urine leaving the body because it's trying to cool things off. Same reason why we had more bowel movements. We're going to have more urination just to cool off the body. But eventually, if somebody is hot enough and they're urinating often enough, the body will become dehydrated, and then you're going to be decreasing the amount of times that you're going to the restroom because you just don't have the urine in there, right? You've kind of peed everything out. And I have found this. I'm going to give you another running example. One of the marathons that I ran, it was just excessively hot, and there was just no way to intake enough fluid in order to balance out how much we were sweating and losing. And I found probably 3/4 of the way through the race that I wasn't sweating anymore, which is a bad sign. When you've stopped sweating in a marathon, that's not good. And my skin was very crusty. I'd lost a lot of fluid. And up until that point, I had needed to use the restroom pretty frequently and would stop occasionally. And once I hit that point, I didn't need to use the restroom anymore either. It was like there was no more moisture left. My body was trying to retain everything that it possibly could for moisturizing, but I was still really hot. So it was not a good sign. It was like a heat stroke type situation because I had gotten so heated that I had peed more to try and let it go. I'd sweat more to try and let the heat go. There was no more moisture to release. And so then I just became excessively dehydrated and ended up in the medical tent afterwards. A good key learning lesson about heat and how it affects your ability to function properly. With Kapha dosha, you can experience an increase or decrease in urine. When Kapha is blocking the channels, which it does because it creates tissue and growth and volume, then it can block the urine. You'll have a decreased output, but it can also increase it because of the water and earth element. Overall, with Kapha, we tend to think about it having an increase in urine when Kapha dosha is increased. Taking in things like alcohol or coffee is also going to increase the amount of urine that you make. And sudden intense fear can trigger urination, which we've seen when somebody gets afraid and they just pee their pants and they can't stop it. So how does urine look different when the different doshas are elevated? Vata dosha is increased. You're going to have the overall volume drop down, but you're also going to see it as more of a gray or a dark yellow or brown color to the urine. When Pitta is come into the mutra Sahasrotas, as we call it. You're going to have a moderate amount of urine, unless, of course, we talked about you've had the increased pitta for a long time, and so the body's dry, but typically it's a moderate amount. And the urine's going to be bright or dark yellow, and it could have a little bit of a greenish hue to it. The smell will be pretty strong. It's going to smell acidic. And in ancient Ayurvedic medicine, they would actually taste the urine. And so if for some reason you tasted your urine, there'd be a sharp taste to it. I can honestly say that's not something that I was taught and encouraged to do, and I'm grateful for that. So I do not taste urine, but you can smell it and just smell that acid in it. Now when kapha has increased, you're going to have a larger volume of urine, and the urine will appear cloudy. It could even have little strands of mucus in it. It might look mucusy. And that often smells sweet and has a sweet taste. When someone is diabetic and they have excessive urine, especially when the blood sugar is out of control, that's why they have that sweet odor to their urine. They have more kapha in their urine. And the color, you can really describe it the best as it's absent of the normal golden color, and it just looks cloudy. Like you can't really see through it very well. Now, I know you're excited for me to teach you the urine evaluation test. This is actually so awesome. We did this when I was in school as a project, and now it's something that anytime I have people who have kidney issues, or they just want to know what their overall health is and how the urine applies to it, they can do this test and it's super fun. Okay, so here's how we're going to do this. We want to observe color, aroma, clarity of the urine. So in the morning, first thing when you wake up, you're going to want to collect your first urination of the morning. You want to catch it midstream so that it won't be contaminated. And then we're going to take sesame oil. So get pure organic sesame oil, the same thing you would use for a self-massage. And you're just going to drop it one drop. So use a dropper if you can, so you can just get one drop about 2 to 3 inches above the cup of urine. Just put a drop of sesame oil in it. And then we're going to look and see what it does. This is so fun. If vata has been increased in the urinary tract, then the oil is going to separate into a snake-like pattern. So it'll just be snaky and weavy. Now, if pitta has increased inside the urinary system, the drop's going to form a concave or a convex shape. It's going to look a little bit like an umbrella that slowly starts to enlarge. When kapha is increased, then the drop of oil is going to stay round and resemble a pearl. It could break into many tiny drops, but it's going to stay compact with structure. So you can see the different doshas and how they're impacting the urinary tract just based on how that sesame oil responds when you drop it into the cup of pee, which is really kind of cool. And then here's one other thing you can look at. If the oil stays on top of the cup of urine, the condition is easier to cure, easier to treat. The lower it sinks, the more difficult the correction becomes. It shows us that that's been happening for a longer period of time, whereas if the oil stays up at the surface, we know that it's more of an acute or a temporary situation that we're facing. So interesting, right? The final mala is the sweat, and we call this sveda, and it means sweat. The channel of the body that it comes through is the sveda vaha srotas, and the sveda vaha srotas connects most closely with the fat tissue of the body, the medas datu. So the medas is the fat and datu is tissue. Sweat helps to regulate temperature. So you can see that each of these waste matters are important for temperature regulation. When we get too hot, we're going to sweat, help cool the body off. It's also removing toxins and it brings moisture into the skin. So that's very important. When we don't have enough sweat, our skin's going to get dry and cracked. You might actually see scaling of your skin. You could get dandruff on the head, seborrheic dermatitis, and you can have this caused by dehydration or if you have blocked pores or follicles. Usually if you have a blocked follicle or skin pores, it's a localized condition, but dehydration can be caused typically by a vata or a pitta imbalance. The reason that vata or pitta can both be involved is that when vata enters into the tissue, sweating is diminished because there's this dryness, right? A natural coldness. It's just not going to release moisture. And then the pitta causes this because you sweat initially more, and then ultimately you're going to become drier because of the heat and you won't sweat as much. When you have too much sweating, you can see that in both pitta and kapha. So when the body is becoming overheated or overhydrated, you're going to release more sweat and the skin gets a little more moist. It has more body odor. And we know when we smell body odor from sweat, it's combined with pitta because pitta is the dosha that has the odor, or there's ama coming out, so toxicity. So if you are sweating in high volumes and it's smelly, we know pitta is involved. If you're sweating in high volumes and there's a sweet odor, we know it's kapha. If you have small amounts of sweat and it's not coming out real frequently, it's vata. It could also be pitta if you were overheated for a long time and sweat so much that there's no moisture left in your body. Pitta is that one that fire just causes all kinds of drama, really. Using the malas or the waste as just a way to examine our health is a great tool. It's something that's easy. We can look at it on a regular basis. We can kind of check in on ourselves. And I like that about this aspect because it's not complicated. It's really simple. Anyone can do it, but it takes being aware. Most clients that come into my office don't even remember their last bowel movement or what it was like or how often they urinate or any of these things. And so starting to pay attention is important. You could even keep a little log or a diary of your bowel movements, of your urine, and just kind of watch that. And it's interesting as well if you're keeping track of what you're eating to look at how that affects it, because you'll see a big difference, especially in your urine and your bowels. Not as readily apparent in the sweat other than the odor. So you will smell it in the odor. Or if you eat something that creates a lot of heat, it's a diaphoretic. Something like black pepper could do that. Or if someone's very sensitive, a lot of dry ginger could also make you sweat more. But now you have an additional tool or way to evaluate how your health is progressing. Could be something that you just pay attention to every couple days. You just look and see what's going on, but it will help you overall to really determine if you're heading in a good direction. That's our whole goal with this, is to kind of head in a good direction where we're healing and getting better every day and getting more clarity on where our health is sitting. If you want to join our programs that we have at the Ayurveda Life School, we have a couple different things. We have our immersion, 28-day Ayurveda immersion, and we are in the process of creating this as a self-study course, which is fantastic because that means when you're ready, it's there for you and you can jump right in and start. And the material will be delivered to you every day for 28 days with a couple live calls in there so that you can get some support if you need it. So I highly recommend looking into that at ayurvedalifeschool.com/Ayurveda Immersion. The second program, which is kind of an addition or a build on to the immersion program where we take it a little bit deeper, we understand things more fully, is the Ayurveda Scholars Program. When people ask me, what does that mean? What do you study? I want you to understand that a true scholar is someone who becomes an expert in their field. Usually in humanities, there's someone that's very considered educated and learned in that area. Whereas an Ayurveda scholar is twofold, educated and experienced and understanding of the art of Ayurvedic medicine, but secondly, is just as clear an understanding about themselves and their own nature and being able to apply it. So it's not just learning the information and becoming a book scholar, it's taking that information, applying it to your life, and actually becoming Ayurvedic, becoming an Ayurvedic follower and a liver of Ayurveda, which I think is completely different than just knowing it. It's direct perception, direct knowledge, instead of just understanding things from a cerebral, intellectual level. If you're interested in that program, we just launched it this October and we're off to a running start. It's ayurvedalifeschool.com/Ayurveda Scholars. You can join that at any time. It doesn't have to be on the first of the month. It can be in the middle of the month. Anytime that you want to come into that program, you're welcome to join us in there. So you can learn more about those. And I'm just so happy to be able to share with you and expand our knowledge and understanding of the world and how it affects us directly. Have a beautiful day. Do something that gets you out in nature today. Enjoy this fall season as we begin to transition from the summer into the fall. Such a great time to just go out and breathe and watch the world as it begins to change and then feel that change within ourselves. Have a beautiful week. We'll talk to you soon. Namaste. Before you go, was this episode helpful for you? Well, the most helpful thing you can do in return is to leave a review in iTunes. The reviews are what keep the podcast going. And be sure to subscribe and share this episode if you loved it. You can connect with me online at ayurvedalifeschool.com, on Instagram, and on Facebook at Ayurveda Life School. Have a beautiful day. Namaste.